All right, this morning we're continuing on with our series of pre-decision, pre-decide, better choices, better life. Last week we started it. It's up on our podcast. If you missed it and want to get there, I also recorded it, and that's on YouTube. So we have the video clip. So let me know what you think of that, if you think it's good quality and all that kind of stuff. Because we're expanding, we're trying to grow, we're trying to get better. So I'm not afraid of some critique, some criticism. Hey, Pastor Brandon, it was nice, but let me know, all right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, do I have a few of you that say, yeah, not a problem, Pastor Brandon, I'll let you know. All right, Stephon's like, yeah, I got it, I'm all good. All right, so we talked about pre-decisions, right? How many of you have ever gone into life and ever created a plan, this year, 2024, I'm going to be overweight? No? Oh, goodness gracious. How many of you have ever planned, this year's the year my marriage is going to fail? No? Okay. This year is the year that my kids are going to go crazy and I'm not going to want them around anymore. No? Okay. How many of you have ever planned, this is the year that I'm going to be fired? This is the year I'm going to become an addict? This is the year that I'm going to be bankrupt? No, none of us ever plan to fail at something, do we? We don't plan that. It's not something that's like, all right, I'm going to write this down on my calendar. But does failure happen? Do we all fall? Do mistakes in life come our way? Yes, they do. We don't plan to wreck our lives. We don't plan to do stupid decisions. We don't plan to do stupid things, but it happens. It happens. So this week, we're going to talk about how to try to avoid that. Last week, again, we talked about the power of our decisions. On average, we make 35,000 decisions on a daily basis. No wonder we're tired at night. Or at least I'm tired at night anyways. See, we talked about the quality of our decisions determine the quality of our lives. We also made mention that we make decisions and our decisions make us. Meaning the decisions we make today create who we are going to be in the future. So if I want to be a bodybuilder, then today I need to start lifting 5 kilos. So that way I can get to the point where I can lift 50 kilos. What we decide today makes who we are in the future. So we need to pre-decide, because the power of choosing ahead of time, how we will act and respond to our decisions. Instead of waiting until the moment to give in to temptation or let our emotions take us someplace we don't want to go, we want to pre-decide, this is where we're going, this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to respond, this is how we're going to react. So this week we're going to talk about temptation. Temptations. How many of you have, myself included, given into a temptation and lived to regret it? Yes, I have. Why do we give in temptation? Let's go over a few things. A possible reason is, we're just not ready for the temptation. Sometimes it's like, oh, it's there. There's a temptation. Oh, catches us off guard. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on guard. Stand firm in faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Guess what, church? We often don't really talk about it, but we are in a fight. We are in a battle. We have an enemy, a spiritual enemy that is after us to get us, to keep us away from God, or to keep us away from expanding his kingdom and doing the things that the Lord wants us to do. If our enemy cannot keep us from God, he wants to keep us bound up and huddled up so we don't do things or are effective in our job, in what God has called us to do. So the enemy, he is after us and he is attacking us. So we cannot, as Corinthians said, we cannot let our guard down. We must be on guard. Matthew 26:41, watch and pray, Jesus said, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. The devil, Satan, the enemy, whatever you want to, Lucifer, however you want to call him, he's going to come after you. He's going to come after me. And he has a purpose, John 10:10. Jesus said the thief, referring to our enemy, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. That is his mission. That is his goal. That is his ambition. He will steal, kill, and destroy anything that matters to the heart of God. And guess what? You and I matter to the heart of God. It doesn't matter if we are part of God's family or not. It doesn't matter where we are at in our spiritual journey. You matter to the heart of God. Even if you don't know who God is or you haven't joined that relationship or started it with him, you matter to the heart of God. And so the enemy will come after you. You may not recognize it. You may not realize it. You may not even think that it is him, but he will come after you. In 2 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11, Paul writes to the church to encourage them to not let Satan outsmart them. As we, as followers of Jesus, already know the schemes and plans of the enemy. So because we already know what he's going to do, we know he's going to come after us, we should not let him outsmart us. The enemy knows our weaknesses. He knows how to attack us. And so what are we going to do? How are we going to manage this? How are we going to deal with this if we are not ready for it? Well, we're going to do the opposite, right? We're going to be ready. Everybody say, be ready. Come on, be ready. Be ready. We're going to get ready. We may not have been ready, but now we know he's coming after us, so we're going to get ready. I love watching movies about war. I love watching Lord of the Rings. I think it's in the second movie where they go to, well, I think it's Helm's Deep, that big fortress. What did they do? They got ready because they knew the enemy was advancing. They got all their weapons together. They unified all the elves and everybody that was there, the elves and the humans and dwarves. There we go. I was thinking wolves for some reason. Ah, dwarves, they unified everybody because they knew we have to be strong. We have to stand together because the enemy is marching in on us. So we now know the enemy is advancing. He's coming at us. So we are going to get ready. Everybody say, be ready.
Be ready.
Be ready. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, so if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So we know we're going to get ready, but guess what? We can't get overconfident because we are weak individuals. I'm sorry to say, we make mistakes. I may be strong in one area, but not all areas. I may do well at home and do well at my job getting yelled at by customers, but when I get home and my kids start yelling at me, I may not be doing as well. Because I've stood strong all day long and I just want to be home and I don't want to fight again. Because we are not as strong as we think we are sometimes. So we can't rely on ourselves to make this happen. We may be standing firm, but we have to be careful not to rely on ourselves. Sometimes we end up in places we don't want to be because we've just relied on ourselves. We've only hung on to ourselves. How many of you in the office, the workplace, or at home have said, okay, I'm going to eat healthy for a while. I'm going to do it. Vegetables are my number one thing. I'm going to cut the calories. No sweets for a week. No sweets for 6 days, 5 days. Okay, but we walk by that piece of cake. Maybe that's that chocolate cake. Maybe it's the mom's apple pie. Maybe it's the quenil bula. Maybe it's the semla. We're in the season of semla. We walk by that semla and go, I'm going to be strong. I can do it. Yeah, I'm walking by. Still looks good, but I'm walking by. I'm going to do it. I'm going to resist the temptation. But then for some reason, you find yourself getting up out of your seat, out of your office cubicle to walk by the break room because you... there's the semla. Why am I walking by? No, I've got to be strong. I can do this. Come on, Brandon. You can do this. We walk by. But then the third time, it's like, no one else is here. Those are some pretty good semlas. Yeah. But no. I need to resist. I'm sorry. You look fabulous. You look delicious. There's so much extra powdered sugar on top, and there's a lot of vispagrat, a lot of that whipped cream, but no, not today, sorry, not today. You go back to your cubicle, but then all of a sudden the urge is like, They are the mini semla, so if I have just a small one, it's a, you know, you just kind of, you take a small one and you go back and it's like, how many of you have ever had that kind of scenario play out in your life where you're going to resist something and you resist it the first time and the second time, but then it's like you find yourself just like a magnet being pulled back to the thing that you want to resist, right? Because sometimes we're just not as strong as we want to be. I'm there with you. We overestimate our ability to fight off temptation because we don't realize the amount of energy it takes to resist temptation. Because in this moment, for me, loving semla and wanting that is because I have trained my body to love and desire these things because I've fed myself with the semla and the bulla and the apple pie and the vanilla cream sauce and the ice cream and, you know, all those things. I've conditioned my body to want that. And so then the temptation is so easily succumbed to because I've overestimated my ability because the past decisions have made my present what I am. So it's going to take more strength. It's going to take more just fortitude. But it drains us. Saying no over and over and over again drains us of that. I mean, I worked at an IES school, an international English school on for 3 years. I loved it. It was great. I was a wood shop teacher. I don't have that experience, but I love doing it. But, you know, kids are a bit of a handful, right, Zachary? Some days they're just like, oh, don't, mom and dad, I'm sending them back to you. And they're like, no, they're supposed to be in school. It's a school law mandate, so you need to keep them from this time to this time. But like, I would have the patience, I would endure, I would deal with the craziness, whether it's boys doing mean things or girls and their hormones doing mean things or just kids being kids. I would deal with it, I would manage it, I would take care of it. But by the time I got home, I'm just too exhausted to deal with it and manage it with my daughter. And I just give in to the, oh, when I should have just, hey, kid, just relax. You're at the end of your day as well because she has also held herself in. She's held herself in check all day long at school. But then when she gets home, that's a safe place, and she just unwinds. It's like the jack-in-the-box where she's been wound up all day long, and once she walks in the door, the lid pops off, and boom! She explodes out. But that's when I had to realize what I was doing and the temptations of giving in because it was just easier sometimes to just, hey, knock it off. Use that firm, sharp voice. But realizing my firm, sharp voice wasn't very positive in helping her become the young lady she needs to become. So I had to realize, okay, on my journey home, I need to reset. The temptation is there to give in, but I need to reset. I can't just binge watch a show on the way home. Because that wasn't a good reset. I've already realized that. So I had to find other ways to reset myself, to find that energy, to find that strength, to find that fortitude, to build up my self-control. So with temptation, there's three things we're going to pre-decide. We're talking about pre-decisions. Pre-deciding, making sure how we're going to react in the future. So we're pre-deciding now what we'll do in the future. So there's three things we're going to do. And all three are going to be up on the screen. First, we're going to pre-decide to move the line. Then we're going to pre-decide to magnify the cost. And then we're going to pre-decide to plan our escape. All right, so everybody, we're going to pre-decide to move the line. Say it with me. Move the line. Come on, with some energy. Move the line. There we go. Now, then we're going to magnify the cost. Yes, and then we're going to plan our escape. There we go. All right, so first of all, move the line. What kind of a line are we talking about? It's a good question. Does anybody have a roll of tape? Blue tape, black tape, yellow tape, green tape? Does anybody have a roll of tape? Oh, Jack, you do. Hey, thanks. Could I borrow it? Nice, thank you. Just, what are you doing with tape? Thanks for helping me out, Jack. All right, so we're going to move the line. We're going to put a lovely line down here on the floor. Good thing we're not in geometry class. All right. We're going to pretend this is a good old nice straight linear line, okay? Here's my line on the floor. Now let's all be real. Let's all be honest. When there's a line, when your parents said this is the line you should not cross, what do we do? We get as close to the line as possible, don't we? As one pastor said, you know, time to not shine our halos. We all get up to the line, right? For the most part, we toe the line. How close can I get to the line? How close can I get to annoying my parents without really annoying them? How close can I get? And see, it's the same thing with temptation. We often will go, okay, the semla. How close can I get to the semla without actually taking a semla? Even though I want to stay healthy, how close can I get there? How many conditories can I walk by without buying one? Is it 4? Is it 7? Is it none? How close can I get to the line? But in reality, what Jesus encourages us to do is to not even get close to the line. Now, let's be honest. There are some things in our life that we go, oh, you know, I like for me, I'm married to my wife, Angela. So I should keep the line. I don't want to cheat on her. I don't want somebody else in my life. I want my wife. So I'm not going to go, oh, how many relationships with other ladies can I have before it really bothers Angela? How many one-on-one coffee dates can I have before she becomes uncomfortable? That's really stupid, isn't it? I want to move myself back and keep myself away from ever even getting close to that aspect in my life. And so we have to, in a sense, we have to say, okay, there's the line. That's where temptation is. We're gonna move the line. Right? We're going to take our little line and put it down. We're going to move the line. If I know temptation is over there, I'm going to put up safeguards in my life that keep me away from that aspect. So that way, if I cross over that line, I know, oh, I'm already setting myself in danger. Because remember what we talked about last week. It's our values that help us set up our pre-decisions. So for me, I value my wife and the relationship I have with my wife. So if I value that, I want to create a great distance between where the line of actual temptation is and myself. Because I also know that I have sinful behaviors and sinful thoughts. I do stupid stuff sometimes. And so if I want to safeguard myself from actually giving into the temptation, I want to set a new line for myself away from that temptation. See, the enemy will come after us. He knows where we are weak. He knows where we are weak. For me, a lot of it is my emotions. So he comes after me in my emotions. I will have emotion-filled days where I deal with a lot with, I help people through what they're navigating, and it's a lot of emotions or whatever they're going through. And so then by the time I get home, I'm emotionally drained. I am tired. I'm exhausted. So then when I get home and my daughter needs emotional support, I'm not always there. And so then I have to realize, okay, I can only handle maybe 2 meetings in a day, so I have the emotional capacity left over for my family. Because let's be honest, God has called me to be a husband first, then a parent, and then a pastor. So if I can't have what my family needs after a day of work, I need to reset and reorganize some of my priorities. Right? We have to understand where's the line that we will fall across and then bring ourselves back. Because then some days, you know, it just happens. I've set up my safeguards of, say, 2 meetings, and then someone calls me, and it's not because it's like they need help and I talk to them. It's not like I'm trying to get as close as possible to losing my edge, but it's like just, okay, I'm here. But I have to intentionally set the line back here so I safeguard. So it's not a buffer so I can abuse it, but it's a buffer so I know, okay, I'm keeping myself away. Does that make sense? Because Paul says, We know we have grace, that God's grace and mercy is there for us to forgive us of our sins, but we should not abuse that grace to go, woo! Oh, I messed up. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Oh, I'm going to mess up again. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. That's not, Paul said, we can't do that. That's abusing the grace that God has given to us. And it's the same thing in our life. So we need to move the line. Now, we can say, you know, for me, it was never a problem going out and partying. I was just not that kid growing up. But for my brothers, that's what they did. They went out, they partied, they drank, they did those crazy things. And so if that is you, if you're into, say, drinking a lot, and you want to create a line where you know temptation is to drink too much and to get drunk, and the Bible says we shouldn't get drunk. So if you know that that's the temptation is to get drunk, you got to pull your line back and say, okay, what causes me, how do I get to that spot on a regular basis? Is it friends? Is it after work parties? Is it what is it that causes you to get there? And then reel back and go, okay, I need to set my line here. Now, you might say, oh, that's kind of being a party pooper. It's fun. We release ourselves, right? We have fun. Just talking to that person, you know, having a coffee with that person is really nice because they get me, they understand me. It's all cool. There's nothing wrong with it. My spouse, my partner's good with it. You're just being a party pooper. You're just being a downer. Well, guess what? The Bible says in Psalm 16:6, the boundary lines that have fallen for me in pleasant places, surely I have a delightful inheritance. Meaning the lines that we set up, the boundaries we have set are delightful and pleasant for us. There is safety and freedom in knowing this is the line. I am far away from my temptation. There is safety and freedom in knowing that. That's what the Bible says. God wants us to enjoy and have fun. So set life up so you can have fun within the way God wants us to do it. So moving the line is meant to be freeing, not to be restrictive. Okay? Okay. Number two, we're going to magnify the cost. Anytime there's a temptation, there's a risk. Let's go back to the easy one, Semla. Giving into the temptation of Semla. And I may not have had a sweet all week, but if I dive back into eating a Semla every single day, where's my body going to go? Out. Right? It's going to go out. Anybody want to go out? It's going to go the directions that I don't want it to go. So we don't want to go out. We want to go in and up, right? There's always a risk. So we have to train ourselves. We have to get into a habit. When the temptation comes, we must ask ourselves, what could go wrong? Because something always does, right? What is the worst case scenario? If I give into the Semla today, what is the worst case scenario? I give in to Semla tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after and the day after. And then all of a sudden, by the time I know it, there's 10 kilos packed on somewhere. I just don't know where it went. But it's there. What is the worst case scenario? We must pre-decide because, again, the devil, he is coming after us. And we're not as strong as we think we are. Worst case scenarios for some of the temptations that you face, you could lose your job. You could ruin your reputation. You could lose your integrity. Could lose a loved one, all because of a choice. All because of a choice. Numbers 32:23 says, but if you fail to do this, you will be sinning against the Lord, and you may be sure that your sin will find you out. They were to go in and take the land and do what God told them to do, but the leader saying, hey guys, if you don't follow the law that God said, do this, that, and the other thing. If we don't do all of them, it's going to be found out. You can read a story in the Old Testament that they were supposed to go in and destroy and get rid of, destroy and burn everything. And there was one family that decided, hey, there's a few gold items. We're just going to take, we're going to stick under our cloak, and we're going to bury it under our tent. So, and no one's going to know the difference because it's buried. No one will see it. Guess what? They then lost the next war, and then the Lord spoke to the leader and said, hey, I can't remember if it was Joshua or Moses, said, hey, there's an issue. And so then through a series of tests, they boiled it down to one family. And they said, hey, you know what? You disobeyed what God asked. All of a sudden, the earth opened up the tent and swallowed the entire family. Not just the few that made the mistake, but the entire family. Kids, nieces, nephews, everybody. One sin, taking some gold from a village that you plundered and destroyed because God said to destroy. We took some gold for ourselves because, hey, you know, doesn't hurt anybody. But it destroyed not just a few, it destroyed a whole family. 5 minutes of sin could wreck a lifetime that we've built. So again, we're going to stay away from the line. And then we have to understand, if I give in, we have to really sit down and think, if I give in to these things, what is the worst thing that could happen? Because oftentimes we go, oh, you know, it's not so bad. We do the small things. We look, oh, it's just one. Tomorrow will be better. But we need to shift our mentality and go, it could be 100 over the next every single day until they stop making them. And that's after Easter. And oh, that's April. That's a lot of semla. We have to magnet, we have to blow it up. We have to exaggerate what could really happen to help us understand if we make that choice, are we wanting what could potentially happen? Do we want that as a result for our life? So we're going to move the line. We're going to magnify the cost. And then we're also going to plan our escape. How do we get out of there? In Genesis, we read the story of this young man named Joseph. The Bible describes him the way my wife describes me, handsome and well-built. But he was a great young man. He was despised by his brothers. They didn't like him because dad favored him, so they threw him in a pit. They were going to kill him, but said, hey, why should we kill him when we can make some money off of him? And they sold him to some slave traders that were passing by. The slave traders sold him to Potiphar. He was the commander of the armies of the king of Egypt. So he was a high-ranking dude. Okay, so this young man gets sold off. Life sucked for him. It was terrible for him. But yet he knew who he was, and he knew who he wanted to be. And yet, the crazy thing is, he was a slave. And Potiphar's wife, she had the wandering eye. She's like, ooh la la, Joseph, you look like some delicious lurdos goodies. Come to bed with me. And he's like, no thanks. And the next day, hey, Joseph, you're still sweet as candy. Come on, little boy, come on. And he's like, you know what, Miss Potiphar, I am your husband's slave. He is my master. He tells me what I can and cannot have. And I cannot have you. We cannot be together. Sorry, no thank you. The next day, she kept going on. She kept saying, hey, come on, come on, young man. Come on, come on, come on. Until one day, she cornered him in some part of the house. And she kind of basically was like almost forcing herself onto him. And he's like, no. And so he ran away from her. He didn't just go, oh, sorry, excuse me. He just like took straight off. He ran away. And all she had in her hands, because she had her hands on him, was his coat. The dude knew temptation would be there because she kept advancing. And, you know, after day maybe number 5 or however many it was, some of us might go, okay, she's the boss's wife. What can I do? I'm just a slave. But he's like, no, this is who I'm going to be. I will not give in. I will not defile what is my master's. I'm not giving in. And she turned around and made it a bad thing for him, and he got thrown in jail. But God was faithful in this process. Even though he got in trouble for staying a man of integrity, God was faithful, and he eventually became number 2 in Egypt because of being in jail. It's crazy how life works sometimes. The things that other people's decisions cause us to go down a road that we never thought we would be a part of. Life seems to fall apart, but guess what? If we still hanging on to God, Joseph was in jail for 2 years, accused of a crime he never committed, yet he stayed faithful to God. We cannot use God as an excuse for giving in to our temptations. Oh God, You let me go there. This is all your fault. I stayed faithful to you. Now I'm in jail. It doesn't matter what I do now. We cannot use that as an excuse to give in to our temptations, because life happens. Life happens, even if we make the right choices, God will always be faithful even in our temptation. God will always give us an escape route for our temptations. A route where there is no lust. A route where there's not giving in to the financial temptations or a breach of integrity or a loss of relationship. There is no temptation that God has not given us an escape route, a way out. That's what the Bible says. That there is no temptation that we cannot get out of through God's help. So church, we must pre-decide because the enemy will come after us. We need to determine to move the line, get as far away from the temptation as possible. We need to magnify the cost. We need to pre-plan our escape. Because let's be honest, none of us plan to screw up our lives. None of us plan on, hey, today I'm going to make the worst mistake in my life possible. So this morning, as we close out, Megan will come. I want to ask you this. Be honest with yourself. Where is the enemy coming after you? Where is he attacking you? Where are you weak? Be brutally honest with yourself. Because it's in that honesty that you and the Holy Spirit can begin the process of identifying and moving the line. Understanding what the cost could be. Understanding how to escape. How to move away and set yourself free. Is your area, do you justify your behavior because you're upset with God? Do you compromise in your finances? Do you lie to make yourself look better? Do you carry unforgiveness in your heart? Do you find yourself taking God for granted? Do you find yourself compromising around your friends? We must determine in our lives that we must move the line and stay away from the temptation. That we will identify, if I give in to temptation, this could potentially be where my life is at. Is that really where I want to be? Do I want to go down that road? Do I want to be that kind of person? Do I want that lifestyle that will result? And again, this is all based on the values. What do you value in your life? Because when our values are clear, our decisions are easy. Church, what I'm proposing to you this morning is what we proposed last week in, from Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plans. So we should be committing to God our relationships, our friendships, our finances, our witness, our work, our words, and our thoughts. Our children, our family. We should be committing everything we have to the Lord. Because if we do, He will establish all plans. So this morning, three things that I want you to take away, things I want you to walk out of here with are this, that we must remove ourselves from temptation. We must stay away. If we give in to temptation, it comes at a price. Giving in will cost us something. Maybe today it's only a little bit, but tomorrow, it could be everything. And three, realize you don't have to give in to temptation. You can escape. You can stay away. You can run away if needed. Because the Holy Spirit is there. So this morning, Father God, we just come to you. God, we recognize that there is an enemy, that there is someone that is after us to destroy us, to lame us, to hurt us, to wound us, because we are your sons and daughters. Or just simply because we matter to you. You love us, whether we love you back or not, you love us. And so the enemy is after us to cause us to stay away from you. So this morning, Lord, we just ask that you would help us through your Holy Spirit to find and identify what areas of temptations we are facing so we can go, okay, that's the line. I'm going to move back from it. I'm going to move away. I don't want to be close to it.